Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to Wigham Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up our service with prayer. Next Sunday, April the 16th, is our 155-year birthday celebration. We'll have lunch after the service, and just to let you know, please stay for that, and then we'll have a sing. Please remember that the church is going to provide the meat for the lunch next Sunday. So if you will, bring whatever you like, but the meat will be provided. We'll also dedicate the Hope Ministry dedication will be at that time also. Don't forget April the 30th, after the evening worship service, we'll have Taco Sunday. Bring your favorite taco toppings, and we'll have a time of fellowship then. There'll be no evening services tonight. Please mark your calendars for that. Also have an announcement I want to read here. The Pastor Search Committee has been working and praying diligently in the search for God's man to lead this church. Please continue to pray for the committee and Wigham Baptist Church as we search for God's will to be done. The committee is at the point that the church needs to approve a proposed compensation package. We will have conference this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and the package will be presented, discussed, and voted on. We are asking for church members that are able to please attend this conference. Any other announcements? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we come together to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, today, Lord, that we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all the songs, all the hymns, the message, and whatever we do today, Lord. We just want to make sure that it brings glory on you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, we're going to open up this morning with a guitar praise and worship. So I want everybody to stand, smile real big. It's Easter Sunday. You know, the Lord came from heaven to earth to show us the way. And from the earth, he went to the cross. And from the cross to the grave. And today is Resurrection Sunday. He left that grave, came back to life so that we all have hope. So let's stand. And let's smile and sing real loud, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on.
sounding good this morning. Please be seated. See the cross up here, it has some beautiful lilies on it, but on the front seat, if you'll all come, this is for everybody. So as we sing Because He Lives, we want you to come up, get a flower, and decorate the cross in honor of our Lord. So we're going to have a mission video first, they remind me, so I'll try not to interrupt that.
People say keep Portland weird, you can think, oh, people there want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the gospel. But there are so few evangelicals in the city that that curiosity is like, you're this exotic creature.
Most people have never met a pastor before. And so you're definitely the minority if you are a Christian.
Gresham Bible Church was the first church I planted. We developed lots of deep, meaningful friendships with people in that community, and our kids did as well. But 3 years ago, the Lord made it clear to us that there were other communities in Portland that needed a new healthy church. This particular area of Northeast Portland is what you might call a church desert, and we're excited to follow the call of God, but worried about how our kids would take the news.
Yeah, I was not thrilled that we were moving. Like, one of the big things that we had been praying for when we moved here was that I could find some friends in this neighborhood, and I found a lot, so that's really nice.
We put ourselves out there in all kinds of ways, with neighbors and with people who heard about this new church getting started, and it is all hands on deck for the Brown family and this church plant.
It's been a while since I went to church and just sat and listened instead of doing stuff during it, but it's nice to be able to help.
We've got to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ grow. We've seen leaders raised up and missionaries sent out from our church because the need for gospel access in this city is really great.
We started this church believing the Lord would provide, and they got to see, wow, God gave us a building, and God brought people, and sorry, it's gonna make me cry, but they get a front row seat, you know, to see the Lord provide, and it's been really awesome. Really awesome.
That's good stuff. Well, now we're ready. We're going to all sing Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. And as we sing, please come up and decorate the cross.
Yeah.
Verses.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful once again that we can just part of worship taking up this offering this morning, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we give sacrificially, Lord, to you, Lord. That's what it's about, Lord, and that this church, Lord, will just continue to bring glory to you in the way it uses its money. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
There's never been, nor will there ever be, another story like the story of Jesus. No one was ever born like him. No one ever lived like him. No one ever died like him. And no one ever rose from the dead like him. And no one who has truly met him is ever the same.
Something's happening in there.
when you have music that good and singing like that and decorating the cross, I gotta go look at it. I'm gonna call. I wanna see it from the back view. Look at that. That is beautiful. And then this is when the congregation is supposed to look and say, oh my goodness, what a wonderful thing. Just no need to even preach after that. We'll just all go home, right? But we're not. It's Easter. And I'm not going to miss preaching today. Oh, we have reason to be here. And that's what makes it worthwhile. Two things, though, as we get started, is that, yes, this is the time of year that we celebrate the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So often we forget because it's just not in front of us, but that offering supports missionaries throughout all of North America and Guam, the Virgin Islands, the whole scope of who we are, church planting, ministries that touch lives in not only large cities, by the way, but in small communities where they've never heard of the gospel preached. So please consider what God is leading you to give and give throughout this month, and we'll send it in. Our goal is $1,500, and I believe we can make that very easily. So please do, and please give. I know that it may appear that a lot of things are coming all at once and happening because we've got Easter here, but don't let me take away anything from next week as well on our celebration, our ministry that we're going to dedicate, because the helping others is what I've been preaching about for the last 3 months, I guess. But it's helping others because that's what we do. That's what our life is about. And helping those in need, those who are homeless, those who have newborns, those mothers who have infants and no husband or no parents that are available to help and benefit them. All of these things are things that we can do, and we can make a difference in people's lives. You may have heard at an auction, I've enjoyed a few auctions during the years, and I had a friend that used to have an auction over in Boston, Boston, Georgia, just over on the other side of the river. And I remember as people would buy things and people would search out the treasures that they had. Bob would stand up and say, it's that man over there going, gone. And that means no more. And that means the bidding's over. The article has left the building and you can't get that anymore. But this is exactly what happened in a tomb on the side of a hill called Golgotha. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus's body was placed in this tomb. And folks, it is gone. It is not there. It has left the building. You see, Jesus Christ is the one, the only one that has ever died, come back to life, and is gone. But he's gone only to the fact that he now lives within our heart. Last week, I was trying to explain why and when we celebrate Easter, and I almost felt like I made it worse instead of better. Sometimes I think that. But when I stepped back and looked at the facts again, and just sort of mulling it over, I realized that in so many cases, people have to agree to disagree, or else they agree to the fact that we just don't agree. Constantine, the guy I was talking about, did try and solve that dilemma. But when I went back and I looked at it again, I realized that what I was saying and what I was talking about, that Constantine just started the ball rolling. Because you see, people have been disagreeing for eons, way before Mr. Constantine. And when I looked at each article that I had read, because I went back over, Constantine was trying to say at that Council of Nicaea in 325 that we've got to solve this issue, but then I kept reading it, and the problem was they didn't decide. The controversy kept on. And this was a part. Miss Linda, something you said to me made me think about it, and I appreciate that, because you see, they actually, the early Christians, I mean these folks who were back here with John and Simon Peter, they celebrated, but they would celebrate, actually they would be celebrating in the middle of the week, Easter. They were celebrating when Christ arose from the grave. Now, we celebrated on Sunday, and this is what, it wasn't really until the 19th century, I didn't believe it took that long, but it wasn't until the 19th century that the tradition actually came about. And so we started celebrating on a consistent schedule. All Christian traditions have been that way, and that's what was so interesting. The Easter sunrise service, by the way, I got up and came over here and enjoyed the one in this county. But for example, it's very distinctive, actually, to North America. And I had never realized that. The Protestant church did most of our traditions, you just have to realize most of our traditions in church comes out of a Catholic background, because Roman Catholic was the premier religion years and years ago. But the practice for sunrise service, the scripture says, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark, or as dawn was breaking. It is a service of jubilation that takes place as the sun rises to dispel the darkness. And so you see, that tradition is something that has started our tradition of having sunrise services. The council at Nicaea is the one, though, that did start the placement. And I'm going to repeat it, because we follow Easter on Sunday, following the full moon after the vernal equinox, which is the March 21st date for the end of winter and the beginning of spring. So Easter can happen anywhere from March 22nd to April 25th, because we celebrate it on Sunday. So even though it took almost 2,000 years, guess what? It's still an empty tomb. As you can see from our demonstration, this is what I want to point it out with the cross today. The celebration that we're having today is not about death, it's about life. A picture of color, of life and new growth and beauty. And that's why the flowers, my wife and I have been replanting our flower bed along the sidewalk this week. And it's been wonderful to see all of the blooms and all the little buds, and we can see which ones are going to pop out next time and which ones are coming in a few days. And my wife grew up in her home with daylilies, and her mother literally had thousands of daylilies. She had some beds almost as big as this building. And what was so interesting is a daylily will pop up overnight and be a beautiful flower, and at the end of the day it wilts and it's gone away. But the beauty is fantastic. The lady next door, y'all are going to have to come see me. I don't mind. 218 East Monroe Street, right down behind the post office, inside of the big oak tree. Okay, that'll get you there. The lady next door bought this house, and it had been empty for a few months. And we walked out one day about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and there was plastic all over the front yard. And there was plastic all over the side. When they redid the house a few years ago, they put brand new sod down with a water sprinkler system. And I thought I was going to die. I saw all that sun dying. But she had a plan. And she had a reason in her mind. And I have fallen in love with her. Now, you know, it's my wife and I both have. She's wonderful. She has an idea of a country garden that is completely flowers and plants in her entire front yard. And of course, the water sprinkler system is going to help her with that. And she's doing it one plant at a time. Her husband, I think, has passed away. And she does have some children that live out. But she is doing every bit of it. And she goes out early in the morning and cuts the plastic and plants the plant. And it is fantastic. I had never thought of this. I've never really seen it. Of course, in Southern Living, if you want to go look, the pictures are in the book. But it's a new life coming to that yard, to that neighborhood. It's different. It's not what I have seen. It's not what I grew up with. But it's going to turn out beautiful like the cross. Jesus defeated death and Satan when he gave his life on the cross, completely for our sins. My declaration to you today is this. I want you to hear, have you ever stood at the foot of the cross? You got to think about that for a minute, and that's why I'm glad today. It was a new tradition for me. But I want you to feel that as you pass by and maybe you place the flower in a certain spot. And you might remember where that is and look at it while I preach. But standing there and realizing how different this was. This cross was not dripping of blood. This cross does not have a person hanging on it. This has become a beautiful symbol of what Christ did for us. A wonderful change. Because you see, in the Catholic tradition as well as others, they have what they call the crucifix. A crucifix is not just a cross. A crucifix is a cross with a person hanging on it still. You may see that sometimes people will wear that as a necklace or they'll have it in church. But Christ, the risen Savior, is not on the cross any longer. It has changed. So I'd like for us to look at some people. This doesn't take too long. I'm only going to give you about a sentence on each one. But there are six people I want you to put in your mind and think about. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was known Jesus for 33 years. She has seen him differently than anyone else. Think of this, because she knew him as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, some of you younger people, and as a young man. It sounds a little strange, but we don't have a lot of information about Jesus between 19 years of age and 30. It it's sort of silent right there. But he started his teaching ministry when he was only 30 years of age. He was teaching in the temple when he was a teenager. We have that story. But really, Jesus began teaching his disciples, his friends, the apostles, when he was 30 and taught for 3 years before his death. Mary Magdalene, number two, was close to Jesus, but also had been possessed by a demon 7 times, and Jesus healed her, and she was forever grateful. John, the beloved disciple, one of Jesus' inner circle of friends, he was one of the first disciples and also was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Everyone else, all of his disciples fled the garden when Judas and the guards came to arrest Jesus. Do you realize that? How did Jesus feel? As far as anyone reports, John could have been the only apostle at the foot of the cross at the death of Jesus. This is something we just sort of, I think, skip over. A Roman centurion was there, probably one of the guards who gambled for a piece of his garment. Now, why was Jesus' garment so important? Jesus' garment was, ladies, you'll understand, it was a single piece of fabric. There was no seam in the garment that he had worn. And so it was valuable to them, and the guard simply stripped him of it and cast lots to try and win that garment. But that Roman centurion stood there, and at noon, darkness came over the whole land, and darkness was there for 3 hours, from noon till 3 o'clock. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." And the scripture says that the guard saw what happened, and he began to glorify God, and he began to say, "This man really is innocent and beyond doubt." There's another man, Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin. In Scripture, Luke 23:50, he is called a good and righteous man. He was at the foot of the cross, and Scripture reports that he had not agreed with their plan and action to crucify Christ. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, because he's the one who had an empty tomb that had never been used. And last, but of course not least, Simon, a Cyrenian, a man picked out of the crowd to carry the cross for Jesus. At the very last minute, Jesus had grown so weak he could not bear his own cross. He had no choice in the matter. He was forced to be at the foot of this cross. Okay, so let's look at Scripture now and see what it says today. John 20:1-31, you can see it on the screen, or you can use your own Scripture. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. Now, I'm going to punctuate some of that, because that word came, or going, that's where I'm headed. While it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, so she what? Ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, in verse 7, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Now let me stop right there. Give an explanation of a little bit of the Jewish culture. Because this is something that I had come across and I said, we've got to put this in this sermon. It's so cool because when a master and a servant were in a meal, if the master stood up and wadded up his napkin and dropped it on the table, it was a sign that he was finished. And the servant could come and clean the table, remove the dishes, take things away. If the master stood up and folded his napkin and placed it back by his plate and walked away, he was telling the servant, I'm coming back. I'm not through. This was a sign from Jesus. I'm not finished. I'm coming back. And when you think about that and realize that's exactly what Jesus was telling us, either through that simple act, but then we know he is. Jesus will return. So cool that each little piece of scripture teaches us something. Verse 8, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples, what they did, went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look at the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But what does he tell her to do? Go to the brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so am I sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. This is the first time we hear and understand of God giving the Holy Spirit, because he's He says in John 14 that I will be sending. Well, here, Jesus actually gave these men the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, and by the way, that's also translated the doubter, because we see him doubting in John 14 because he doesn't believe he knows where Jesus is going. He was not with them when Jesus came. So other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And just a few more verses, because 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Thomas caught it, folks. He understood. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And now these last two verses are very important to the whole. But listen to what they say. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, in Scripture. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Folks, that's why Scripture was written. That's why Jesus had all of these men inspired to write these things down, to put them together. There are over, I think we figured out, over 2,000 different prophecies that are listed in the Bible that have happened and come true and changed because Jesus made it that way. God had all of these things written out so that we could see it, the scientists could debate it, people could worry about it, but it is proof that Jesus Christ lived and died a horrible death and rose from the grave. These scriptures tell us the story of the resurrection. And I felt like that today, instead of that focusing on the horror and the death, that we had to focus on the life. Because they also give us a command to do what? To go and tell the nations. That's why I emphasize each of those verbs. That's why I want you to see. From the very beginning, they were going and telling, and they were sharing the things that had happened to them. They were doing what Jesus had asked them to do. Now, what about the seven people I introduced you to? Let's not leave those folks hanging, okay? Because those seven people here at the beginning, at the foot of the cross, I want you to put yourself in their place. And now this is the hard part. This is where you got to think. What is your opinion of what I'm about to say? Was Mary saved? Was Mary Magdalene saved? Was John the Beloved saved? How about the Roman soldier? Was Joseph of Arimathea saved? Was Simon saved? And one other that I didn't include today, but you have to think about, he wasn't at the foot of the cross. He was hanging beside Jesus on the cross, the thief. Was he saved? Now, saved is a churchy word. It's one of those things that we find usually only in church circles. But were those people committed and alive with God, and are they living now in eternity with God? My gut reaction is to say, well, yes, and immediately. But you know what the answer is? I don't know. And neither do you. Because the only one that you can be sure about is the one that you look at in the mirror every day, and you know without a shadow of a doubt what's in the heart and the mind of the reflection you see. You get it? The takeaway, I hate to be commercialized, the takeaway today is like the American Express card ad. Jesus Christ, don't leave home without him. That's the takeaway. And we're going to do this different, Sissy, I think you've been told. But the way we're going to close is this. I'm going to say a prayer. And my wife, my beautiful Darlene, alluded for me to a song, a video that I had not seen before. And after I pray, I'm going to sit down, we're going to watch the video, and then we're going to leave and celebrate the risen Lord. And I think you'll understand why when we are through. No service tonight, but I'll see you Wednesday night and then Sunday. And I'm supposed to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Because, Lord, you have given us such a wonderful, fantastic opportunity to share the good news. Thank you, Father, for Easter and what it means to us. Help us to enjoy life because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.